This episode, the 6 ways you can make money on every real estate investment, part 2 on the Financial Momentum Podcast. Everybody, welcome to the Financial Momentum Podcast. I'm Paul Arie, and this week is part 2 of the episode of 6 ways you can make money on every real estate investment. Now, of course, there are some exceptions. For example, if you buy land, you go out and buy some raw land, and you don't do anything with it. You just let it sit there and grow weeds for a couple of years. This is not going to apply to you. It won't apply to that. But if you make a real estate investment, you buy a property that has a structure on it that you can lease to someone, this applies to you. It applies to that situation. So the last time we discussed the first 3 ways to make money, and that is cash flow from your rental income on the property, property value appreciation, and depreciation. Now, your property can appreciate in value, and you can depreciate it on your taxes all at the same time. The depreciation allows you to make money by saving thousands of dollars on your taxes, on your tax bill, and of course, the property value appreciation adds equity to your property. Now then, the last three ways to make money on every real estate investment. Number 4 is loan pay down. The rental income that you get from these properties will pay your loan payments. If they don't, you don't want to buy that property. You would be in a serious negative cash flow situation, and you don't want that. So you want your rental income to cover not only your loan payment, but also all your expenses. So the rent collected every month, you put toward your loan payments, and it should be enough to pay any expenses and pay the monthly mortgage payments. That means your tenant is building up your equity for you. It's a nice benefit to owning real estate. Your tenant's paying your bills for you. They're paying your loan payment. Unless you're Dave Ramsey. For some reason, he thinks that's not the case. He says you're an idiot if you think your tenant's paying your loan payment for you. Well, I'm sorry, but the tenant is paying your loan payment. They are paying your expenses. If they're not, if that rental check doesn't cover it all, then you didn't do it right. I think he likes to play games with words. You know, it's just a little semantics here. And no, they're not directly paying your loan payment, but they're paying you and you're paying the loan payment. They're covering your loan payment. So, you know, he just needs to get over himself. But that is number 4, loan pay down. When you pay your loan down, every month you make a payment, a little bit goes to principal and a lot goes to interest. And eventually your loan gets paid down to where your payoff amount is lower, and that means you have equity in the property. So they're building up equity for you. Equity can be a valuable thing. You can't spend it, but you can borrow it. You can borrow against it. You can refinance your property when the equity goes up enough. You can take cash out. The cash that you take out of that property is tax-free. You don't have to pay taxes on that because it's loan proceeds. It's not income. And you can take that money and buy other properties with it. Again, I'm not trying to hate on Dave Ramsey too much, but he thinks you're stupid if you borrow money to buy real estate. Personally, I think you're stupid if you don't. That's a little bit stretching. I'm stretching it a little bit there. I don't think you're stupid. But if you pay cash, you know, you're really missing out on a lot of opportunities. And you're risking your own money when you should be risking somebody else's. So that's an argument for another time. That can be a discussion for an entire episode. Probably will be someday. But don't think you have to save up all your money to buy the property and pay cash for it. By the time you save enough money to buy it, you won't be able to afford it anymore because the price will have gone up. So buy what you can with what you have when you can. And you'll come out a lot better in the end for that. Number five, make a profit when you sell. When you go to sell your property, if you ever sell it, you will hopefully be able to sell it at a profit. Now, the most successful real estate investors rarely, if ever, sell properties. Most of them do not sell their properties. You can go your entire career and buy, and never sell. Now, I like to use a strategy of buying a property, holding it for a couple of years, and then selling it and making a huge profit on it and using that money to go buy more properties. Eventually, you know, you'll get to where you don't have to sell anymore, and you can just refinance and take that money and buy more properties. Right now, if you're just getting started, you might need to use that strategy. You might need to take a profit and sell the property. That sometimes is the best solution, but that is one way that you can make money on your real estate investment. Of course, you have to let the property appreciate or force it to appreciate by raising the income on it. When your equity increases in the property, and it'll do that because of appreciation, it'll do it because you've paid down your mortgage. And when you go to sell that property, you're going to have a lot of cash left over when you pay the loan off. So you're going to sell it at a profit on top of having equity built up from the loan being paid down, and take that money and put it in another property. Because I can tell you from experience, if you sell a property and you just stick that money in the bank, and for one reason or another, you don't buy a property, that money will disappear. Idle money sitting in the bank disappears. Nobody's stealing it. The bank's not taking it. You're spending it. And it's really easy to think, oh, I can just, you know, this expense coming up, oh, we got that. We can cover that. It's okay. You know, you do that a few times, and before you know it, a big chunk of your money is gone. I've done that. So when you do sell your property and you make a nice profit, invest it in something, even if it's not real estate. Of course, that's my first choice, but put it in something so that you can't get your hands on it. You can't go spend it, because it will disappear. It's astounding how much of it can disappear. You would be surprised how fast you can go through a couple $100,000 and not even realize where it went. It's a scary thing, and it's, you know, you're only going to do that one or two times, and you're going to think, well, crap, that was a big mistake. I'll never do that again. And so hopefully you won't do that. Hopefully you don't have to learn by experience from that. Learn from my experience from that. I've done it, and it's not fun. It's not fun at all to try to figure out where all your money went. So the sixth way that you can make money on every real estate investment. Now, you know, most people stop at five. Most people say, well, you know, only five ways to make money on every real estate investment. They usually leave out one of these six ways. They leave it out, or they lump it in with another one. This one, number six, probably the most important one, maybe one of the most important ones. Not the most important, but it's up there in the top two, maybe. Make money when you buy. This is where you're going to make a ton of money. When you buy the property, if you can buy the property below the property's actual appraised or market value, when you can do that, you have equity up front. You've built it in up front. Added, you have built-in value before you do anything with the property. And this is where the whole process of adding value to the property starts, and it shows up in the end when you're ready to exit. When you exit that property, your profit is higher because you bought below market value. It'll give you a boost in equity. You can use that for cash out refinancing and get some of that tax-free money to use on other properties or to improve the property that you just bought. Almost every property has an opportunity to reduce the purchase price. They've all got something. Deferred maintenance. That is maintenance where the seller, previous owner, has neglected to do maintenance on the property. And believe me, there's a lot of that out there. I have seen landlords who put off all the maintenance they can put off. They don't want to spend the money. They want the profit. So instead of having the expense of fixing things, they just let it sit there and get worse. Well, when they go to sell that property, they will not be able to sell it for as much as they could if they had maintained that property the way they should. And the frustrating thing is, those are the people that are hard to buy from. They either don't want to sell or they want top dollar for their piece of crap that they have let deteriorate. And they don't want to come down on the price. So sometimes those kinds of sellers, it's just easier and better to walk away from them. But you're going to find some that are not that type of landlord, not that type of seller. You have people that they're what I call don't wanters. They don't want their property anymore. They may have retired. They may be ready to not have the responsibility of being a landlord. Maybe it's just gotten to be too much for them. Maybe the repairs have gotten to be too much and they're getting too old and they don't want to deal with it anymore. Or maybe somebody has died and the family member inherited the property. I have done some amazing deals in that situation. Those people may not want it and they want to get rid of it. So I think I've told this story before, but I had just such a situation. I had a client looking for an RV park and I found him one that the owner's dad had built it, built this new RV park and self-storage combination of the two, brand new, never used, never occupied. He died before he opened it. The kids didn't know what to do with it. They didn't live in the town and they didn't want to deal with it. Sold that property for $200,000. So we bought that. My client bought that for $200,000 because it didn't have any income. Bought it for replacement value, basically, even less maybe. And they just wanted to get out of it. They didn't care. Place was paid for, had a couple of kids there. They were going to split $200,000. They were happy and they didn't want anymore. They were fine with that. And they didn't want that property. They didn't want the burden. Well, these two guys that bought it, they were a couple of oil field workers. They'd saved up their money. They bought that property, 29 RV spaces. They filled it up in 2 weeks with monthly renters and pushed that thing up to a $14,000 a month cash flow. And they had other things there. They had also had a, there was a double wide mobile home on the property that they rented. There were storage, you know, there was a 6,000 foot self storage. They rented out some of those units. And then in a couple of years, they sold that property for, I believe it was around $750,000. They made a lot of money on that property, and they did well because they bought it right. They made their money when they bought it. They bought that property well below market value because the owner didn't want it anymore. There are apartment buildings like that. There are office buildings, retail centers. They come up all the time. People don't want them anymore, or they die and their family doesn't want them anymore. There's always something, and they're out there all over the place. Now, what I like to say is the deal of the century comes up about once a month, and it is very true in commercial real estate. You're going to find deals like this, you know, maybe about once a month, maybe less, maybe more. You're going to find somebody who has to get rid of their property or wants to get rid of it. And you're going to be able to make your money on this property when you buy it. That's a huge opportunity. Don't be afraid of buying something that looks like a problem. I know investors that won't touch anything that doesn't have a tenant in it, isn't newish, you know, almost new. But, you know, I like buying properties that have problems. I look for those. I like buying a vacant property. If it's a commercial property and it's vacant and it's in a good location, I'd love to buy that property because I know I can get it cheap. I can put tenants in it. I can do some work on it, put tenants in it, increase the value by a huge amount, and make a lot of money on that property. You have to be careful when you're buying vacant properties or buying trouble properties. But to me, when you find a property that has problems, that's a property that has opportunities. Problems are opportunities to me. And when you get a deal like that, that's probably one of the best kind of deals you can find. So those are the six ways. Cash flow, number one. Number two, property value appreciation. Number three, depreciation for your taxes. And by the way, that tax thing goes a lot farther than just depreciation. If you have a loan on that property, you also get to deduct the loan interest on that property. And then there's a loan pay down, number four, or the rental income pays your loan payments for you. That's income. That's paying your loan payment. You don't have to pay it out of your pocket. Someone else is paying it for you. Number five, make a profit when you sell the property. And number six, make the money when you buy the property. So that's about it for this episode of the Financial Momentum Podcast. We'll be back next week. I am headed out this week, tomorrow, to West Texas, and I'm going to look at some property to buy for a type of property I had never considered before, but it's really something that is in demand all over the United States, and that's truck parking. It's a serious problem with truckers. It's a low entry level, at least, you know, financially low entry level to get into one of these properties. And I'm going to go out there and see if I can, I have a lot picked out, and I'll develop that into a truck parking facility and keep you informed along the way how it goes. So that's it for this time. I'll see you next time on the Financial Momentum Podcast.